Bari Kur Lalamim, creator of all worlds, the master of all worlds, wants us right now to join him, to join the tzaddikim of earlier generations and the tzaddikim of our generation on this terrible journey, but very, very beautiful and deep journey that we take every year on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says at the beginning of Brachas, you all know the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yossi, Pamacha, Seisi, Mahalach, Bederach, Venechnasti, Luchur, Vachas, Mechurbis, Yushalayim, Lispalu. So at the very beginning of Shas and Daf Gimel, that Rabbi Yossi went into one of the churvas of Yushalayim, the ruins of Yushalayim, to Davin. And Eliyahu Navi himself, Zochel Lataiv, as you remember, was waiting there by the entrance, was watching the entrance. And the Gemara tells us that after Rabbi Yossi davened, Omali Bni, Rabbi Manach Nasal Churvazu. So Eliyahu Navi asked Rabbi Yossi, my child, my son, for what reason did you come into this churva, into this ruins? And Rabbi Yossi said, Amatel Lispal, to Davin. Omli b'ni ma kol shamata b'churva zu. And Eliyahu Navi asked Rabbi Yossi, and what did you hear inside the ruin, inside the churva of Yushalayim, and what did you hear? Amatel shamati bas kol shmuna hemes kiyayna. I heard a bas kol voice, the Shechina herself, Menahemes Kiyoina, was calling out, making sounds like a Yona. Vayimeres, and the bas kol was saying, Oy shechrafti es beisi, v'shechrafti es echoli. Oy, that I destroyed my house, and I burnt the Heichal, Iglesias Bonai, the Ben Ha'akum. And I have sent my children into Golas among the nations. And on this Gemara, Pashas Mishpatim, Pashas Shkolim, by the English calendar, February 14th, 1942. The Eish Kodesh, Shchus Yelenu, Hashem Mikam Domai. Was speaking to those who were still alive, who were with him. And he explained the following. Read in the English translation. We have previously discussed why Rabbi Yossi heard this divine voice, this bas kol, only when he was praying in the churva among the ruins. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us three times every day, as the Gemara says. So the Rebbe says, for behold, a Jew, a Yid, tortured in his suffering, may think he is the only one in pain. It's the nature of a person who is suffering to feel mamish alone. Ein machoiv k'machoivi, that he is the only one in pain, as though his individual personal pain and the pain of all other Jews has no effect above, God forbid. The most terrible thing is when a person feels that his pain and the pain of those Jews around him has no effect above, doesn't make any difference, doesn't kivyochel affect Hashem Yisbarach at all. But the Pasuk says, b'chol tzarosim lo tzar, in all their pain, is his pain. And as the Gemara says in Chagiga, in the name of Rav Meir, that when a person suffers, the Shekhinah says, Oy li miraishi, oy li mizrahi, oy my head and my arm. And in this Svarim HaKadoshim, we learn that Hashem, as it were, suffers the pain of a Jew much more than that person himself feels it. So then the Rebbe goes on and says, listen carefully. I'm sure you remember this Torah. But possibly because Hashem is infinite. But Hashem is infinite. And hence unknowable in the world. And because of that, we as human beings are oblivious to his suffering. Especially because we're wrapped up in our own suffering. But in addition to that, he's unknowable. His pain at the suffering of Jewish people is also infinite. But the pain of Hashem Yisbarach is infinite. Perhaps it is not just impossible for any human being to feel such immense pain. It is impossible even to apprehend the level of God's pain, to know that he bears it. Just to hear God's voice saying, Oy shechrafti es beisi, v'serafti es echoli, v'gleisi es bonai leven ha'akum, is impossible. Because it is beyond the boundaries of human comprehension. So therefore he says to the Rebbe, listen to this. It is only when Rabbi Yossi entered into the devastation of one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. It's only when Rabbi Yossi, to some degree, the Rebbe explains, was able to let go of his own personal suffering, pain, and sadness. And he entered into this churva of Yerushalayim, letting go somewhat of his self-centeredness, that the boundaries restricting his perception were also destroyed. He came to a place of bittul of himself, and he entered into that infinite ocean of Hashem when he went into that churva of Yerushalayim. And then he was able to hear the voice of Hashem. And even then he heard only a little of the voice. The bas kol, which is menahemes kiyona, in a gentle way, like a dove. Well, we know from the verse in Yirmiyo, where it says in Pasuk, Hashem yimro yishag, mimoin kodshod, yiten kol oshog yishag al neveh, that Hashem is screaming, is roaring like a lion. Over the churban. And so the world continues to exist steadfast. So the Rebbe says that with all of the suffering, and with Hashem screaming, and with Hashem suffering together with us, but it's beyond our understanding. We can't feel that. We don't understand it. The world seems to be the same. Nothing is changing. And so the world continues to exist steadfast. It is not obliterated by God's pain and his voice at the suffering of his people and the destruction of his house, because God's pain never enters the world, because this world can't feel. This world cannot experience, cannot understand the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Chevra, Tisha B'Av, Tovshin Pei Aleph, the Baruch Shalom is inviting us, is pleading with us for this one day of the year, each one on his own level. The Baruch Shalom is pleading with us to try to let go of ourselves a little bit and to enter into the churvas of Yerushalayim. Churva achas mi churvas Yerushalayim. You know, we say all of the tefillas on Tisha B'Av, and we just said Baruch Hu, and we're going to say Aleinu. And we say the regular tefillahs of Ashrei, Yishtabach, and all the brachas. But everybody knows that There's really one word. There's one word that we're going to say in a few minutes. And that one word is the ticket into that churva of Churvas Yerushalayim. That one word is the ticket into that place of Hashem crying, of Hashem screaming. And of course, that word is Eicha. And the meaning of Eicha, let's just try to understand very simple. The meaning of Eicha is that it's an expression of astonishment. Eicha means, how could this be? It means when you were expecting one thing, and it seemed that everything was leading up to that you were expecting. You had a tzipia, you had a chalom. I've already had conversations with Bachram. I've mentioned in the past, but there was a Bachra I think about all the time. I spoke to him 2 weeks ago. There was a Bachra that is great in learning and great in Yiras Shamayim. He loves learning. He loves Yiddishkeit. All he wanted to do with his life was to be able to get married and to build a Jewish home. And I think over and over about it when he came to speak to me, he didn't use the word Eicha. But all of the dreams that he had to be able to get married and to have a home with Shabbos, a home with children that not only do we sometimes take for granted, but we oftentimes abuse. And he came to cry to me that it's not possible. It's not possible for him to conceive of being able to get married. He can't. And ever since I had that conversation with him, and he brought me into that churva achas, mechurvas Yerushalayim, of his life, of his parish of oily she'achravti yisbeisi v'seravti yisecholi, I can't stop thinking about that word eicha. Eicha yoshva bodar hira basiyom, there are deep Torahs here. There's a Torah from the Rebbe Marash from Lubavitch. Almana is a lashon of ilmus, of not being able to speak, of being mute. Last week I spoke to a group of over 100, 150 almanas on Zoom. When they were standing under the chuppah, they believed, as we all believe, that they were going to have long years. And all of these almanas, that dafke, for many of them, when it's come to a point in life where it's possible to rest a little bit, to maybe to go to Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden, there's a churva achas mechurvas Yerushalayim. And then you have other women who are not almanas, but then you have a person who's called ki-almana. Ki-almana. And the conversations I've had over the years with women who told me, who shared with me a terrible secret, and I've heard this on a number of occasions, that when the husband is coming home and it's late, there is this thought and this hope deep inside their hearts that maybe he got killed. Maybe he'll never come home. Because life for that person is unbearable. So you have a person who is not an almana. This person is envious of almanas, because an almana is somebody who everybody has pity for. An almana is somebody who is revered and respected and treated in the best way possible by every Jew. And the almana, maybe she'll be able to remarry and she'll have some companionship. And maybe, even though it won't be, let's say, like the Aishas in the world, but she'll be able to go on. And she enjoys maybe her children if she's Zoicha, her grandchildren if she's Zoicha. But then what about the women who are Ki Almana? The ones whose husbands are alive, or the other way, an Alman, where the other one is alive. But the presence of that person is so unbearable and so painful. And then what about the Eicha of the girl who is the most popular in her class in high school? And she was everybody's favorite, and everybody said she's going to be the one that's going to marry the best and have the best life and so on. And now 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, there are plenty of chevra in our own neighborhood. We're already 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. I was talking to Baal Shuva that my wife and I know. She's now 72 years old. I first met her when she was 38, 39. She gave up everything in the world. Everything. In order to be a Baal Shuva. And I can't answer her. Who could answer when she asks the question, Eicha Yashva Bodat? How could it be? Everything I expected. Everything I wanted. I dreamt like any regular person growing up. I dreamt that I would have somebody who would be with me my whole life, and we'd have a family. And I'm still schlepping to people for Shabbos. I'm somebody else's mitzvah. And then the one who was zeichet to get married, and she was the one that back in school loved kids more than anybody else, and she was everybody's favorite babysitter, and she was the best counselor in camp, and she's already been to 5 IVF this and all the different, every single procedure, medical procedure, and every big doctor in the world. And the house is silent. There are no children. Every single time she watches this sister-in-law and this friend, and this one's already making a bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, this one's making a chasana. Eicha yashva bodat eicha. How could this be? B'silei sehanu, guys. And then the parents who was zeichet to have children. Let's go into this Churva of Yerushalayim for a second. I'm not saying anything new. The Inyan of Tisha B'Av is not Chiddush Torah. I know there are like 10,000 programs going on, but the Inyan of Tisha B'Av is not Chiddush Torah. The Inyan of Tisha B'Av is to come into a Churva of Yerushalayim, into the Churvas of Yerushalayim, and to understand that all of this is the Totzah, is the result of Churban Beis Hamikdash, of Eilish Hechravti Es Beisi. What about the Churban HaBayis, where you have the nicest parents in the world? And when that kid was born, they were the happiest people. And they made sure to wash Nagelwasser for the baby in the delivery room, because they heard there was such a thing, that this baby should be Kodesh V'tar, that this baby should be holy and should be pure. And everything seemed to be going great. Gan, kindergarten, whatever, first grade, second grade. What a davener. Everything is fantastic. And then all of a sudden, the parents begin to see that funny look in the kid's eyes. And he doesn't seem to be interested anymore in davening. He doesn't want to be in yeshiva anymore. He's starting to come home late at night. He has friends. He has friends that are wonderful boys just like him, or wonderful girls just like her. But that's a bracha nekelim. Eicha, how could this come to be? It's the opposite of everything they wanted. It's the opposite of everything they davened for. It's the opposite of everything they were doing in their home, that they were trying to accomplish in their home. The ways of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, Dachet Tzion Avelus, Mibliboy Moed, and you know the Chazal say, Hakom Avakshim Tafkidam. What happened to the roads of Gush Katif? You remember Gush Katif, Chavra? How many years is it now? 16 years, Tisha B'Av. Gedenkst? 16 years. Da'achet Tzion Avelus Mibli Boy Moed. Not only that the roads of Gush Katif, not, it would be a halbet tzar if they would be abandoned, the roads of Gush Katif. They were once filled with Jewish children playing. They were filled with the yeshivas, with Bati Midrash. But there are no streets anymore. There are only rocket pads. And Chayas. And Sani Yisrael. And what about a Churva Achas Michurvas Surfside? And Michurvas Meron? And a little corner of Rabbi Samedrish and Gibat Zev. Boom. Just in the past few months. There's a woman in Eretz Yisrael, Dr. Esther Farbstein. Have you read her Svarim? Have you heard of her Bechlal? Her husband was a great Rosh Yeshiva. She herself is a brilliant woman. She's written many Svarim on the Holocaust in Lashon HaKodesh. They're being translated. There are 2 volumes, over 1,000 pages, on what happened in Hungary. Hidden in the Heights, it's called in English. Beseser Elyon. She has Hidden in Thunder, Hidden in the Heights. And she records here from the writings of a woman by the name of Favilovich, who was in Auschwitz. And this woman was saying how she remembered that they were wrestling with the question of whether to fast on Tisha B'Av. It was Tisha B'Av in Auschwitz. And they were talking, the girls were talking with each other. We don't have to mourn the destruction of the temple. Our entire existence here is anguish and nonstop weeping. Do we have to recite Kinos as mother did? After all, we ourselves are in the midst of a terrible destruction like nothing our people has ever known. Our very existence here is one big book of lamentations of Eich. Our very existence is one book of Eicha. Don't you all know families like that? Don't you have chaveim like that? That for no reason that can be understood, that makes sense, that the whole life is like an Eicha. The whole life is a Megillas Eicha. So even though the entire year, the Baruch Shalom, of course, wants us to be always besimcha. And as I tell you, even on Tisha B'Av, the Inyan is not chalila to become depressed or sad, but to feel it's a brachenkeit, to be heartbroken, and to be filled with a gaguim for what could be and what will be, and to be filled with tefillahs. because all of this is the result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. All of this is the result of Oili, Shesarafti Secholi, Hechrafti Beiti, Sarafti Secholi, Viglesias Banai, Ben Ha'akum. So the whole year, there's a midah that a person is supposed to say Gamzu L'Tov. And this person is to be mechazik himself, and to try to be mechazik others, to come to terms with the mitzias of their lives. But on Tisha B'Av, the Bnei Shalom wants us to go into the churva, whatever that churva is, a churva achras mechurvas Yerushalayim, because the churva of that boy who can't get married, and the churva of the girl who hasn't gotten married, and the churva of the family who can't have kids, or the churva of the family whose kids are off, or the churva of the almana, or the ke almana, all of those are churvas mechurvas Yerushalayim. And Gush Katif is sitting now, it's a churva achas mechurvas Yerushalayim. And the Baruch Shalom himself is telling us that on Tisha B'Av, he wants us to scream out, Eicha, how could you let this be? How could this be? The Gemara says in B'Av Basra, on the Fayin Dalad, in those amazing Gemaras about Rabbi Baba Chana with his trips. So you know the Gemara says that Rabbi Baba Chana, there was a Tayyar, there was a Yishmaeli, there was an Arab, who said to him, come with me. Turn this here, I'm going to show you Har Sinai. And he went with him and he saw some crazy thing. He saw Har Sinai, it was crazy stuff, not going into it now. And Rabbi Baba Chana heard a voice and said, Oy li shenishbati. V'achshev shenishbati mi meifili. Gevalt, I swore. And now that I have sworn, who's going to undo my oath? Who's going to be mefer this shvuah, this neder? And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Baba Chana didn't understand, he misunderstood, and the Chacham said to him that he was a shaita, what did you say? He said, I didn't say anything, I didn't know what to say. And the Chacham said, you should have said mutalach, 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 because oily shenishbati is the shvuah that Hashem made of Golas. And Hashem is crying out to be released from that shvur, that neder, whatever that means. Zeich Baruch Hashem, our children came to visit us in Yerushalayim. And my granddaughter, Tetzah Gittel, she goes to a gan where they speak English. But she picked up a couple of words. And the first one that I noticed is when I was, whatever, tickling you or something, she said to me, die, Zaidi, die. But you have to be careful if you say it among people that don't speak that language. What it, you know, die, die. But she said, die, Zaidi, die. She means, must speak, Zaidi, die, enough, enough. And a Tisha B'Av, the Baruch Hashem wants us to say, die, Abba, die. Maspik Abba. Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Somebody was telling me, had a friend of hers. They were together in seminary the whole year. She had a gewaldige year. And the whole way on the plane coming home, she's crying. Because during the time that she was away, her parents were already in the process of getting a divorce that she never expected. And she doesn't want to come home, but she has to come home. And she's afraid to come home to a new world. A world that she never knew of. A world that she heard of. A world that she saw by some of her classmates. Oyli shechravti is basi. Another home that's destroyed. Another heichal that's on fire. Another child that's sent out. Back and forth. Back and forth. Shabbos, yontiv, Shabbos, yontiv, Shabbos. And the whole way on the plane she's crying. Eicha. How could this be? for a person's life to have taken such an astonishing turn from being a happy young woman in the best time of her life with all of her chaveris, learning Torah in Yerushalayim. And then a minute later, she's sitting on a plane and she's crying that she's going home and the home is gone. A churban. Churva achas mechurbas Yerushalayim. Another churva. All of this is a hemshech of the churban. So, Chaver, let me just remind you of a story that I told you many years ago. And we'll begin with this year's Eicha. Our avoda this year, Tavshin Pei Aleph, is to say to HaKadosh Baruch that all of us, at least in this kehila, but by all kehilas of Jews everywhere in the world, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. We release you from the vow of godless. We, your children, you are empowered, not just Rabbi Baba Chana, but the collective mitzvahs of Knesset Yisrael, of the Shechin, this world, releases you from this vow. This morning, I mentioned the Minchas Eloz Eschus Yaleinu. So let me remind you of a story. The Minchas Eloza was very, very sick. He was suffering terribly. Things were already getting bad. And he was brought, bad in Europe. And the Minchas Eloza was brought to Budapest to some big hospital for treatments. And his doctor was a secular Jew, an extremely fine person who had tremendous respect and love for the Minchas Eloza. And he was the one that was able to arrange for the Minchas Eloza to be in a particular hospital where Jews were not welcomed. And on Thursday night, the Minchas Eloza asked the doctor, would it be possible for me to be here to bring into the room 9 chevre, so I could have a minyan here for Kabbalah Shabbos, for Mincha Kabbalah Shabbos, to have a minyan for Shabbos in the hospital room. And the doctor said, please, Rebbe, you know, that's very hard for me to do, and this place to get in was not easy, And the rabbi said, it would mean so much to me. Is it possible? Could you do it? And this doctor said, okay, I'll try. But Rabbi, I'm asking you to promise me. Shtilahai. You know what that means? Silence. Please, Rabbi, just daven. Bring in a couple of the chassidim. You'll have a minion. But silent. And the Rebbe said, I promise. It's not a problem. And in return, the Rebbe gave him a bracha for Arichas Yomim. In the end, this doctor was the one that told the story. He lived to be over 100 years old. And he survived the war, and he lived to be over 100. So the chevre went in to make a minyan. You know, the chassidim daven. It was already late Friday. All of a sudden, throughout the hospital, they hear the screaming at the top of his lungs. Hoidu Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chazdo. Yoimu gule Hashem, asher go'olam miyadza. V'yitzakru Hashem batzah lehem. At the top of his lungs, screaming. V'yitzakru Hashem batzah lehem. And this doctor was all the way like down the hall, and he said, oh, I'm finished. And he was afraid. He didn't go out of the office, wherever he was. After Shabbos, after Shabbos, the doctor, somehow they weren't thrown out. And after Shabbos, the doctor went to the Minchas Alozi, went to the Munkat Rebbe, and he said, Rabbi, you know, you promised. And Rabbi, even if you hadn't promised, don't you have any rachmanis on people here in the hospital? Seriously. What are you screaming? So Minchas Alozi said, listen, doctor, when you told me on Thursday not to, you know, to have to be quiet, I understood that that was a chuk v'layava, that that was a rule of the hospital, that there has to be absolute silence. But I'm telling you that I myself heard on Thursday night, the whole night, I heard somebody in another room screaming and yelling. So the doctor said, Rebbe, you know, you're the smartest person I ever met in my life. I can't believe you're saying this. That man was in a traffic accident, and his leg was crushed to pieces. And what you heard was this man was screaming from pain. So the Minchas Alozi said to him, you know where this is going to go. The Minchas Alozi said, you're the smartest doctor I ever met. And you went to some big university in Vienna somewhere. And they certainly taught you in the big university in Vienna, in the medical school, about a person whose head is hurting, or a person who has a stomachache. But tell me something, head doctor. Did anybody ever teach you in Vienna, in the hospital that you went to, in the medical school, did anybody ever teach you Ke'ev Lev Yehudi? Did anybody ever teach you in the hospital, in the medical school, the pain of a Jewish heart? Did anybody there teach you what it means for the heart of a Jew that's waiting for thousands of years and believed completely that this year, Zu Hashana, this is the year when Mashiach is coming. This is the year when there are not going to be any more patients in any hospitals. This is the year where finally, it's going to be Yaimu Gula Hashem Hashem Golom Yatzar, that your family and my family and all of us are going to be finally leaving Budapest and Vienna and all this misery. And we're going to be going back to Yerushalayim. And we've been waiting for this 2,000 years. Tell me something. Did you ever learn in your medical school how much it hurts, that disappointment of it being another year where this tefillah hasn't been answered? And you know the feeling of what it's like to be Dereish Shalem Yerushalayim, to be longing for that gula of Yom Gulay Hashem, for Yitzakul Hashem Batzalahem. So the Minchas Alozi said to the doctor, believe me that I tried as much as I could, but I couldn't hold myself back from screaming. Never really, that's what Tisha B'Av is about. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he screamed that also. Loma Haryoyis, Loma Zeh, Loma Zeh Shlachton. Umeyoz Bosi al Paul Udaba Bishmecha, Heir Loma Zeh, Vahatzel Itzal Tzamecha. Ever since you sent me to speak to the people, ever since you sent me to take them out, you haven't saved them. And Rabbi Kiva says in the Medrash, Yodeya Ani Shato Osid La'atzilam. The Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Yodeya Ani, I know that the story is going to have a happy ending. I know that in the end you are going to take them out. I know that in the end there is going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. I know that in the end there's going to be Tchis HaMeisim. I know that it's going to have a happy ending. Listen to what Rabbi Kiva said. Yadeya Ani, Moshe said, I know Shato Osid La'atzilam. But how does that help the people who are buried under the buildings of Mitzrayim, who are crushed by the pyramids? How does that help them at this moment? How does it help their families at this moment? that they couldn't even bring their bodies out from under those buildings. The babies that were used in the mortar of the Egyptians. What about the Jews under the building? What about all those Jews who have already been crushed? Whether it's by poverty, by loneliness, by bleachers, by buildings, falling on each other's bodies, stuffed into ovens, buried alive. So before Baruch Hu and Tisha B'Av, the Belzi Rebbe Yisachar Dov before Baruch Hu and Tisha B'Av said, Nu ves, vos vet zayin der tachlis. What's going to be the tachlis of all of this? Vos vet zayin der tachlis. What's going to be the end of all of this? Noch a Tisha B'Av. Noch a Mal Tisha B'Av. Vos vet zayin der tachlis. So for some of us, it's hard to come to this place, to be able to talk more about it tomorrow, to come to this place of Chorvus Yerushalayim. So you remember once there was a big chasna, a huge chasna in Poland. And all the rebbes of Poland were at this chasna. And there were so many tzaddikim that were at this chasna that it was before the chuppah, they already had a big kabbalah upon them. But they had to divide up, and they had like 20 tables. And they had lines going all the way for a mile, each line, because they had by each table, there was another tzaddik. And the Jews that came from all over Poland to this chasna, and the Chasna Kal couldn't even get married because they were lined up. Everybody had tzaris. They were going to each, people were just going to these tables lined up to go to the rebbes. And each rebbe had on his table a pile of kritlach, of tzaris. And one of the tzaddikim that was standing there by his table was the Harnstipler, Schusi Yerleinu. The Mordechai Harnstipler. The son-in-law of the Divrei Chaim, Schus Yerlein. Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ga'in HaGa'inim. And all of a sudden, you remember the Maisa? All of a sudden, the Harnstipler threw down all the kitlach onto the floor. And he ripped open his coat. And he ripped open his talis cotton and his shirt. And he said, Kuch up their eyes. I can't read any more kitlach. I can't do it anymore. Rabbi Yisrael, look in my heart. I can't talk about it anymore. I can't daven anymore. I'm done. Cook off their hearts. Look in my heart. All of us are Jews with Jewish hearts. For some of us, it's hard to cry. I'll talk about that tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. It's hard to cry. It's hard to open up. It's hard to come into that world of Chorvus Yerushalayim. It's hard to hear Hashem crying. It's hard to feel that. It's hard to hear it. But every single one of us can say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, cook off their hearts. Look inside of our heart. Because inside of our heart, we're saying, die, Abba, die. My speak, enough. That this should be the last Tisha B'Av. Or the last Tisha B'Av like this type of a Tisha B'Av. And that next year Tisha B'Av is going to be the biggest Yontif, as the Sforim tell us, as the Nevi'im promised us. It's going to be the biggest Tisha B'Av. And you and I are going to be together with our families and the rest of Klal Yisrael. We're going to be lined up by tables. We have a Kabbalah that's brought down the Orchon there and other tzaddikim. We have the Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and the other tzaddikim are going to come back before all of Tchias HaMeisim. Can you imagine what's going to be? Remember that I'm telling you, it's not Nevi'is. We're going to be lined up by tables and you're going to have a Taina. It's not fair. I wanted to go see Aaron HaKohen. And Shomir is going to say, yeah, but I'm a Kohen. I get to see Aaron HaKohen. You can go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is a fine Eid. And the other one's going to be David HaMelech. And there's going to be another table. There's going to be the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Mezuzah Magid, and the Vilna Gaon, and Chofetz Chaim, Chassam Sofer, Rashba, the Ramban, the Rambam. And there are going to be tables. Thank you, Hashem. And all of us are going to be lined up by those tables with Kritlach Ad HaShemai. And all of us are going to be walking with our coats open, say, Kuk of the hearts, Rabbanish, look in our hearts. They're overflowing with... You're overflowing with the simcha that you finally kept your promise. You finally kept your promise. And finally the pain is over. And it's time for the simcha to begin. Remember, We should be zeichet to be on those lines. It should be soon with the Gula Shem Amitis. Maybe Amen, Amen, Amen.